Now, when I look out there, I know most of you, I reckon most of you are going to heaven. I'm not sure about 100%, but most. So when you think about going to heaven, I wonder, because I do this, I wonder what it is that you're looking forward to. What's the first thing you're going to do or you know, the thing you're looking forward to? Now, I'm going to ask you a question, right? And I want you to just put aside the usual answer, I'm going to meet the people I love in heaven that have gone before me. Okay, let's put that one over there. That's a given. The next thing that you're looking forward to, what is it? I mean, I think about going to heaven. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully it won't be in the next 5 minutes because otherwise Josh is going to have to fill in. But I often think about going to heaven, and I've got a few things I'd like to, you know, ask about and do and look at. I'm wondering, just for a minute, if you could just shout out in an orderly fashion, what is it that you're looking forward to, aside that thing that we, apart from that one, what is it are you looking forward to when you get to heaven? What are you going to do? What's the first thing you're going to, yes, up the back. What's that? Okay, all right, good. Anyone else? Okay, good. Sorry? A new body. That sounds good, mate. And good hearing? That would be good, wouldn't it? All right. One more. Anyone else? Peace. Okay. Now, one of the things about being home here, I used to be here for a while. I was here 27 years. I guess you've got to know me really well. And you know I'm really weird. So I was thinking what I would love to do when I get to heaven. One of the first things I'm going to do, I'm going to find out the names of a lot of people that aren't mentioned in the Bible who have no name. There's lots of them. There really is. Lots of them. The blind man who was healed. The leper. No names. And then the Samaritan woman. No name. But this woman, this passage is amazing. I mean, we've read most of it. John chapter 4. It's a classic piece of scripture. It's one of the better known passages. You know, if you start talking to people out in the street, they've probably heard about the Samaritan woman. They've probably heard about the woman at the well. It's the same person, right? They've heard of that. It's one of the classic pieces of scripture. Many great preachers and teachers of God's word have expounded this portion of God's word over the years and have got heaps of great teaching. There's great themes in here about all different aspects. From this passage, you get the theme of living water. And then this is one of the things that I remember when I first got saved. There was a chorus that we sang, a hymn that we sang that had a chorus that said, what, never thirst again? This is the passage that hymn is based on. Then there's the teaching of worshipping in the spirit and in truth, knowing what you're worshipping. It's a great bit of ministry there. And then this passage teaches us that the gospel message, the gospel news, the good news of the gospel is universal and inclusive. Alright? It's for everybody. So there's great things in this passage that you can learn about. There's great points of theological interest too. You know, we started off, depending on which version you look at, but in verse 4, chapter 4, I hope you've got your Bible open, it says that Jesus now had to go through Samaria. And then in the King James it says he must needs go through Samaria. That's nonsense. He didn't have to go through Samaria. In fact, that's a point that is a highlight here because he had to go. He wanted to go is what it should say. Very interesting. You see, Samaria to get to where Jesus was going, he didn't have to go through Samaria. He would have gone the long way, the usual route, which was 20 miles longer. You hear about this well called Jacob's Well or Sychar's Well. You've probably heard teaching about that. Then there's the sixth hour or somebody, I don't know which version of that one there was. I am going to have a drink of this today. It's actually noon. And that's important. We'll see in a minute why that's important, that it's noon. I've heard preachers talk about that heaps of times. The woman was there on her own, which was unusual as well. We'll cover that. And then there's the relationship between the Samaritans and the Jews. Isn't it interesting that in this passage it makes it really clear? No relationship. Well, if it was a hostile relationship. This passage is also used to talk about marriage and divorce and adultery. It's often used to show us that God, who is God, what is God? God is spirit. Talks about temple worship. In fact, I remember many, many years ago, I did a sermon on the place of worship, whether it's Mount Gerizim or Jerusalem. And there's so much more teaching from this passage. Absolutely tons you can get from it. But this morning, I'd like to take a slightly different approach. Don't forget, we're doing what? Character studies. So we're going to look at the woman this morning, the woman at the well. And of course, it's a character study as a thumbnail sketch, so it's not a comprehensive look. It's a particular thing I want you to notice. One thing I'd like you to highlight this morning. Who is this woman? Who is she? What do we know about her? And most importantly, why? Why is she recorded here in chapter 4? It's a big chunk of the chapter. Why is she recorded in chapter 4? Who is she? Now, we don't know her name. We don't know her name. I guess it's not really that important because it's what she does. It's important that God wants us to highlight. Of course, the Roman Catholics have given her a name. I can say this because I used to be one. Very good at doing that. They called her Fertina. Don't know where they got that from. But God says in his word here, she's just a woman at Sychar's Well, the Samaritan woman. The fact that she's a woman in this time and at this particular place in history is significant because what's shown to us and revealed to us through this encounter with this woman is very, very important as far as biblical things, spiritual things, scriptural things, and information about God and his purposes. And instead of a priest, like in chapter 3, Nicodemus, a Pharisee, or instead of a prophet, God uses a woman to highlight these things to us. This is important because in these days, women were chattel. Even worse than that, because the slaves that the husband owned were more important to him. In fact, the woman came built after the sheep and the cattle and the donkeys, and then the woman. That was what it was like culturally. However, this woman is an interesting woman because she was really well known in the village. She was infamous. She was renowned, wasn't she? She was notorious. Five husbands! But the bloke she was living with at the time, at this account, wasn't her husband. So that's who she is. What else about her do we know? Well, she was not liked very much by the other women. It doesn't actually tell us exactly why not, but you can guess. Five husbands, the guy she's with at the moment not her husband. You see, she wasn't like, we know this because she had to go and get water, draw water from the main source in the village, which was Jacob's well, at noon, hottest part of the day. And she was there on her own. And the scholars say that in those times, culturally, a group of women would go. It would be like dropping the kids off, you know, at school or kinder, you know. All the mums, they all turn up, and then they go and have a coffee, usually. Yeah, that, you've done that, haven't you? Yeah. It was a social thing. So while the drawing of the water was important, it was also a bit of a time for a bit of a chat, a bit of a catch-up with the other ladies in the village. This lady, this woman, was there at noon, hottest time of the day, on her own. As I said, notorious for immoral living, five husbands. It's interesting, I don't think it was a case of the husbands had died and she was a widow, because otherwise it would have said that, perhaps. And the fact that it's mentioned, the way it's mentioned, sort of gives you the hint that perhaps, you know, there was a lot of, you know, marriage ending rather than death. And she was living in an adulterous relationship. As a woman, she would have had no formal education or religious training or any religious standing in her village. She never would have gone to a school or the rabbinical schools and sat under teaching in her village. However, she comes across as a really intelligent woman. She really does, and you get that impression by the discourse that she has with the Lord Jesus. She tries to hide her status or her notoriety with the very clever responses that she gives. And she realizes that this person here, although he's a Jew, he's just not an ordinary Jew. He's not just someone passing through. There's something special about him. So why is this event recorded for us in the Bible? Here we are, 2026. The Bible's, the New Testament in particular, is 2,000 plus years old. This is how long this story has been on the pages here in Scripture. You know, in John chapter 21, verse 25, John says there that if everything that Jesus said and everything that he did were to be written down, it says there that you know, the sky couldn't hold that information. So there was plenty of things John could have recorded. Plenty of events, plenty of things that Jesus said. I'm sure everything he said was quite, you know, notable. John wasn't just filling up space by giving us this story, brothers and sisters. He was inspired by God to remember this story, record this story, write it down for us this morning. So why? There's lots we can learn from this encounter with the Lord and the women. And it's really interesting. I wanted to grab your InTouch, but it's really interesting how I'm speaking about this today, because one of the main things that this passage talks about and tells us about is zeal for souls. Zeal for souls. It shows us the effectiveness of personal testimony. It actually gives us an evangelism pattern that we could follow, which you guys are now embarking on this year. So let's spend some time looking at this woman and her responses to the Lord Jesus. You know, when speakers come up the front and they start speaking about chapter 4, right, they never get through the whole chapter. They never get through even speaking about all that happens between the man, Jesus, and the woman at the well. And in fact, we didn't even read all of the account this morning. If you have your Bible open, could we just have a read from verse 39? Because the story goes on. Because you see, there's so much in chapter 4. There is so much we can learn between the encounter of Jesus and the Samaritan woman that by the time you get down to verse 25, 26, the time is gone. And it's very rare that the speaker gets to talk about what we're going to look at this morning. It's very rare because of time. Unless, of course, you come for 3 weeks and then you can break it up. But usually in one hit, you never get to this bit. Let's have a look at it this morning. Verse 39. This follows on from what we've just read. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, that's Jesus, they urged him to stay with them. He stayed 2 days, and because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world." Because of this notorious loose woman at the well, many Samaritans believed in Jesus because of her. You know, I would love to spend 3 weeks talking about this woman. You know, Jesus wanted to go to Samaria, not because of the sights, not because they had good coffee there or vanilla slices. He wanted to go there. He had to go there to meet with this woman. He knew she would be coming there at the well at noon. And he had to meet with her because he had to tell her something, reveal to her something. Because of the woman's testimony to the village, it says there, many Samaritans believe in Jesus. It's very important. A Jew would not normally travel through Samaria, let alone speak to Samaritans, let alone be concerned about their welfare, be it physical or spiritual. They were outcasts. Now, she didn't save anyone herself. I want to be very clear about that. It says there that she didn't do that. But her testimony helped others to believe. Now, I'm really glad that you're doing that, whatever it's called, the thing that you do. That's it. Thank you for that. Because sharing your testimony, sharing your story, sharing your encounter with Jesus, just like this woman, because most of us here have had an encounter with Jesus, sharing that will always help people to believe. Amazing when you think about it. I want you to notice too that she does not provide a theological explanation about anything. She's not talking about the creation and how many days and evolution. She just told them her experience with this man called Jesus at the well. Her story as she had experienced it. That's what a testimony is. A testimony is a story of an event or an occasion that you have experienced. You can't get your testimony wrong. Nobody can say it's wrong, Raph, the way you got saved. That never happened, Raph. I was there. They weren't. Your testimony is probably the easiest thing you can tell someone about Jesus, about God. Often we're put off testifying because we fear we don't know the answers to the questions that might come. But you know, when you tell people your experience, they're usually interested. They may not believe it, but they're interested. They'll listen. They will. They'll listen. And I love this verse here, verse 28. Have a look at verse 28. Because this is what a testimony really is. She says, "Come, see a man. Come and see a man." Who has told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? That's a great verse to memorize I know the other one's shorter, but this is a good verse too to memorize. This is an invitation. She went back to the village and she told the people in the village, "Come, come and see a man." An invitation. But it was more than an invitation. And this is what I love about what you guys are doing here at the moment. It's an introduction. Right? It's an introduction. Now that's really important. And there's a difference. You can put an invitation into a letterbox. But you have to personally go along with someone to introduce them to somebody else, yeah? You do. And here is a biblical principle and a biblical example of evangelism, brothers and sisters. Very simple, but I think this is why we sometimes fail at reaching the people in our community and people that we know. Come and see a man, an invitation and an introduction. You know, when I introduce someone, I take them along and say, you know, here is a friend of mine, or here is so-and-so, and I let them know of who they are. And this is what happens here. She introduces them to Jesus. The Lord has never asked us to save anybody. Never. You won't find it in Scripture. It is not our responsibility to save people. It's not. However, because, you know, that's the Lord's job to save. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict and save. But however, it is our job. It is our responsibility to introduce people to Jesus. It really is. You think of Andrew and John. Just go back to chapter 1 of John. Andrew, the apostle. John chapter 1, verse 40. Let me read it to you. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said, and who had followed Jesus. What's the next bit say? The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and brought him to Jesus. Introduced him to Jesus. This verse is one of the linchpins of Billy Graham and Franklin Graham's Crusades. When Franklin Graham was here just recently, maybe not that recent really for me, I went to a little seminar with Sam. Remember Sam? We went to. They said, what is our responsibility? I mean, Franklin's going to be doing the preaching. Our responsibility was to be an Andrew, was the phrase. Be an Andrew. Introduce, bring, invite someone to meet Jesus. Huh? It's a biblical principle. And it works. Brothers and sisters, it works. All through the Gospels, we see people bringing others to meet Jesus. Right through. When you're reading through the Gospels again, take note of how many people bring someone to Jesus. Verse 39 of chapter 4. Many believed because of the woman's testimony. Now, when you read this passage, right, I reckon there must have been about half an hour time difference between when she met the Lord, spoke to him, and then left her water jug there and went down to the village to tell him what had happened. That's all. Half an hour, maybe an hour, but not long. Here was a woman who was shunned, despised by the village, not highly thought of, and yet she had no animosity towards the village people. She was saved by the Lord. She was given the living water. She had met the Messiah, who is the Christ. Stuff them down at the village. What have they ever done for me? That wasn't her attitude, was it? Just like Andrew, the first thing she did, put down the water pot. I mean, that's why she went, to get the water for the household. Left it there and went down to the village to tell them about this man. She wasn't ashamed anymore, was she? She wasn't worried about what they thought about her. She had something that they needed as well. We have something, brothers and sisters, that Monty needs. Croydon North needs, where I'm living, and where I will be living in several. You know, we live in a society that is in desperate need of Jesus Christ. Verse 41 says there, and because of his words, many more became believers. The ripple effect of this woman opened the way. Verse 42 says, they said, we have heard for ourselves the voice of Jesus, the words of Jesus, the message of Jesus. They would never have heard it. Never have heard it without that introduction from her to the village people. He would have moved on. You see, remember? They say, stay with us for a while. And he stayed for 2 days. The ripple effect of this woman's testimony. Without her, Jesus would not have stayed for 2 days in the village. Oh, I just would just love to have heard what was said during those 2 days, wouldn't you? The questions he was able to answer. It doesn't say that he performed miracles and wondrous works, doesn't it? I don't see that happening here. It was the spiritual healing that was happening here. It was the living water being given to thirsty people. Brothers and sisters, we have this water to share. We have it. Don't we think it's great how the CFA firefighters give the koala a bit of a drink? Our hearts go out, don't they? Because it's a great picture of compassion. It's a koala. They're nice, they're cute and fuzzy. But there are people dying of thirst, perishing because they don't have this living water. You and I, we have the living water. Are we sharing it? Are we sharing it? So, all this because of the anonymous woman at the well. What are the four take-home things for us? What's the application for you and me today in 2026? I've got a bit of an itch here. I'm sorry about that. It's really driving me nuts. Anyway, okay. Four things in 2026. There are so many people that need to be introduced to the Lord. So, you know, millions of people. And I'm really pleased to see the attempts being made by this church through your food help and various other ministries. It's great to be able to introduce people to the Lord Jesus. Who is responsible for the introductions? It's you and me, the people that know him. Nobody introduces someone that they don't know. It doesn't make sense. So it is our responsibility to introduce people to Jesus. Where it goes from there, that's between them and the Lord. But it is my responsibility and yours to introduce him. What do we need to tell people? This is always a problem, isn't it? Oh, what am I going to say to these people? They're going to ask me. What do we need to tell them? Now, in this passage is a really good little clue. Have a look at verse 29 again. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Because that's what they were looking for. What do we need to tell people? What could we tell people that we introduce to Christ? We could say, could this be the answer you're looking for? Perhaps this is the path you need to follow. Could this be the solution to your problem? That's all you have to say. You don't have to convince anybody to do anything. Just give them the opportunity to have a think about things. Three. The woman was not highly thought of. She was shamed, shunned by her village. How often have you and I not said anything, not given our testimony because we've been a bit frightened, a bit scared, maybe ashamed, maybe scared to be shunned by our family members or work colleagues or friends if we say anything? We can be a blessing to our village, just like the Samaritan woman was in this story. That's why it's here. Right? Let's not make any mistakes. God has given us this passage, this account, for a reason. You've seen the signs in different places. We all live in a village. It takes a village to raise a child. You know, you've seen that. We do all live in a village. As soon as that woman at the well heard the news from the Saviour, she left her water pot and went back to the village to tell them the good news. So our village is not just Montmorency, it's our circle of influence. Now, I'm not a very important person. I have a very small circle of influence, but nevertheless, it's still my circle of influence. It's my responsibility to introduce them to Jesus Christ. All of you have a circle of influence. Some of you have a bigger circle than others, but it doesn't matter what size the circle is. It's your responsibility to introduce them to Jesus, to tell them your testimony. Because that's what it was, brothers and sisters. no theological training, didn't go to Bible college, probably didn't own a copy of the scriptures that they used back then. She was a Samaritan woman. She had a lot of things going against her, and yet it was her testimony. That's what it says there. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Oh, I'd love to think that, you know, there'd be someone in heaven one day because of my testimony. I'd love to think that would be the case. It should be. It should be. And what am I doing about it? What am I doing? And that's it. That was the fourth thing. Are you sharing your testimony? We don't know her name. Yet one day in glory, I can imagine myself walking down the paths of gold, streets of gold, and I can just imagine in my mind's eye a big crowd of people over there. And me being a curious person, I'd go up and say, what's happening here? Who's that the people want to meet? And someone at the back of the crowd will say, oh, that's the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. And then I'm going to wait my turn. And when I get to her, I'm going to ask her name. May the Lord bless.